for this presentation is the what is the most appropriate indicator species. As noted before, the green lacewing has been discredited due to its lack of exposure, and other generalist predators have been indicated as better, such as the lady beetle, big-eyed bugs, or insidious flower bug. Other suggested indicator species are as follows. For lady beetles, another possibility of an indicator species could be carabids or cephalinids. However, as noted before, we do receive these types of data, however, none of them are validated. And this would specifically be for coleoptera and active pips. Other suggested indicator species for decomposer organisms, for earthworm and calendula, we believe that there also might be other appropriate decomposer organisms such as the pill bug or mites. And finally, with aquatic invertebrates, we currently use Daphnia, and other aquatic indicator insects may be more suitable as an indicator species, such as a certain dipteran larvae, mosquitoes, midges, caddisflies, scavenger beetles, or predaceous diving beetles. In conclusion, regulatory agencies recognize the value of coordination and, more importantly, the opportunity for us to coordinate within these scientific forums to display the current issues that are going on within ecological risk assessments, exchange expertise, and ask for input. As noted before and in other presentations, there is definitely a need for validated tests to harmonize the methods used to evaluate effects of genetically modified crops on non-target arthropods. And advantages of this harmonization would include comparability of data, recognition of data provided by various labs, and acceptability of data by regulatory agencies, which would ultimately lead to overall improvement of the quality of the ecological risk assessment. Harmonization will also provide a level playing field and further transparency to the regulation of GM crops. I would like to point out that ecological reviews can be found on the following website, and I would at this time also like to acknowledge Zig Vitusis, who couldn't be here today, Robin Rose for her consult, and Richard Hemlick for his handling of logistics. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. And just for food for thought, a quote from Dr. Borlaug on biotechnology to feed the world. Thank you.
Yeah.
A validated test would, of course, be repeatable and would have excellent experimental design that is shown in literature and is also recognized by various regulatory agencies and international fora. There are, of course, several studies that are submitted using different methods, but validation primarily means repeatability across various labs.
So if a new species, a new test, and they do the experimental design and follow it in the statistical analysis, may this new test be considered validated?
That is true. The question was if a new species will be studied and proven to be given adequate exposure and validated that this could be considered as part of the ecological risk assessment. And just a note, as far as for EPA, we do consider other indicator species on a case-by-case basis. However, it is our goal to establish set data requirements that will give specific examples of what are the most appropriate indicator species. Yes. Those candidates were chosen based on the white paper that I previously mentioned. We listed them as possible indicative species, and we wanted to put those up there and show them to ESA to ask the feasibility of these species. Depending on what the response is, and later on tonight's discussions, we can decide and cross off or add on additional species. We're still developing these methods. Are there any other questions? Yes. Well, I'm a risk assessor in headquarters. I'm not sure about that. The question, what is the lab for assessing? We receive various data submissions from various labs across. It's normally industry labs and private labs that are contracted. Thank you for your time. I'm glad my voice held out.
I'm Phyllis Higley, and I've been asked to give a brief introduction about what biosecurity is. Now, when people want to know something, where is the first place they go but Wikipedia? And the Wikipedia definition of biosecurity is the policies and measures taken to protect from biological harm. It encompasses the prevention and mitigation from diseases, pests, and bioterrorism of the following areas: the economy, the environment, and public health. The potential impact of bioterrorism could be huge. There would be tremendous economic losses, and part of that is due to containment of disease. Generally, when people talk about bioterrorism, they think generally of losses to livestock animals. And as a model, they frequently use the 2001 foot and mouth disease outbreak in Great Britain, which caused a loss of 3.9 million animals at the cost of $6.5 billion. And that was just to destroy the animals. That didn't include economic losses to the related industries, which could be anything from transportation to the restaurant industries. And then, of course, there would be losses due to protective trade embargoes and the issue of contamination of the food supply. If there was a bioterrorism event, there would be a huge loss of confidence in the government and fear and anxiety amongst the public. And the definition of terrorism is violence or other harmful acts intended to cause fear among non-combatants for an ideological cause. Bioterrorism is not a new idea. It's been around for many years, and so I thought I'd just give some brief history about it. In 1925, the Protocol for the Prohibition of the Use in War of Asphyxiating, Poisonous, or Other Gases and of Bacteriological Methods of Warfare was written, and it was put into effect in 1928. And this was a response to chemical warfare in World War I. In 1975, the Biological Warfare Convention presented the Convention on the Prohibition of the Development, Production, and Stockpiling of Bacteriological and Toxic Weapons and on their destruction. And this forbid not just the use of materials, but the production, development, and stockpiling of them. In 1976, the National Institute of Health wrote guidelines for research involving recombinant DNA molecules. These included lab practices, containment equipment, and facility safeguards for research dealing with recombinant DNA. In 1982, the National Academy of Sciences wrote a paper, Scientific Communication and National Security. And the thrust of this paper was that free communication among scientists is viewed as essential factor in scientific advances. And in 1985, the United States National Security Decision Directive 189 was the U.S. policy towards science, and the thrust of it was that products of fundamental research should remain unrestricted. So even at this time, there was concern about scientific information. Then, of course, the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and Pentagon happened in 9/11/2001, and following that, the U.S. Patriot Act was passed, which restricts access to select agents for aliens from countries seen as supporting terror. Well, Wikipedia is not the source of all knowledge, and so let's look at what the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization says about biosecurity. Their definition is the management of all biological and environmental risks associated with food and agriculture. And they list three concerns: food safety, genetically modified organisms, and invasive species. The United States government has a number of agencies in place to deal with these concerns. The Department of Health and Human Services includes the Food and Drug Administration, which is in place to ensure the safety of all foods except meat and poultry products, which is under the jurisdiction of the Food Safety and